So Isaiah chapter 61, beginning in verse number 1. As the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your great love for us. We thank you for sending your Son to us to proclaim your love, to proclaim liberty to us, to bring comfort to us as we mourn. And we just pray, Lord, you'd help us as we understand that you want us to fulfill this same role to others around us, to show your love to them. And just pray you would just help us, enable us to do this. And just bless as we look again in your word once again this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we live in a world which functions and often malfunctions under the curse of sin. And we all suffer as a result. There have always been and there will always be long-ranging negative consequences to sin of any kind. Not simply to those committing the sin or those immediately victimized by that sin, but also to countless others as well. And we understand from Romans chapter 8 and verse 22 that due to the curse of sin, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, that it convulses. And through the centuries, those convulsions have become more pronounced as its function degrades due to the curse of sin upon it, to the point that it seems that the world itself has turned against its inhabitants. And thus do we recognize that tragedy and disaster can come into any of our lives unexpectedly, regardless of where we live or what our status might be, and our lives can be left entirely devastated in a moment. So much is entirely out of control. We think of the various things of extreme weather and natural disasters that we have and that even different people in this area have experienced. Over the past few weeks of high winds and hail, excessive rainfall, to the point of flooding, and in other places in this, in our province and in our world experiences tornadoes and hurricanes and flash floods and earthquakes, and various things like that they can hit without warning and with very little opportunity to escape from them. And as they come, we simply many times have to hunker down until they pass by and then emerge to deal with the destruction that those storms have left behind. No one can accurately predict where, when, and to whom such natural disasters can occur, and that there is nothing really that can be done to prevent them. There's other disasters we experience where we would look at and say there might be some degree of preventability to them, but that's usually identified in hindsight after the disaster has taken place rather than before. Sometimes a great tragedy or disaster can come as a result of something seemingly small and insignificant. Something as small as a bolt that's not sufficiently tightened may cause a mechanism to swirl out of control, leading to a crippling or even fatal injury. Perhaps a moment's miscalculation or inattentiveness on the part of the operator of a motor vehicle can lead to a tragic crash in which many lives can be instantly snuffed out. Sometimes a moment's carelessness or foolishness can lead to a fire getting out of control, and a residence or business might be burnt to the ground. And in all such tragedies, great loss is experienced. Treasured photos and keepsakes are lost that can never be replaced. Broken body parts that can never function as they once did. And most tragic of all that can occur is the loss of life. And so in a moment, all that one has can suddenly be gone, and all they are left with are ashes. And God sees the world as it is, suffering under the curse of sin. He sees the pain and sorrow that we each experience when tragedy and disaster strikes, whether it be the result of our own mistakes, as a result of the mistakes of others, or as a result simply of the curse of sin that is upon this world as a whole. And God cares more than we may ever fully realize, that He is full of compassion towards us in our tragic situation. And it is that compassion for us all that moved Him to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to bring comfort and deliverance to us. And moved by that same heart of compassion as the Father, we understand that Jesus the Son now sends us as His disciples into this world, into this nation, this province, and this community to proclaim His glorious gospel message of deliverance from the penalty and power of sin, and to bring comfort to those in mourning. There is so much sorrow and tragedy in this world that many are in danger of being overwhelmed by their sorrow. Many have lost everything, including hope. And in their despair, they're desperately seeking something, anything that will bring an end to their grief, even if it means the end of their life. And it is thus so critically important that we, as followers and disciples of Christ, that we bring such people hope in their despair, that we bring to them God's true comfort in this time of grief and loss. In verse 3 of this passage in Isaiah 61, which of course we understand this passage primarily to be prophetically speaking of Christ, but we as well understand that it has a secondary application to us as His disciples, that it says that there are things that are to be appointed unto them that mourn and given unto them that are in mourning. The word appoint there has a sense to establish, to make provision for. And we could think of it this way, that when disasters occur in a town or an area, there are often what we refer to as disaster response teams that are sent out to provide immediate and necessary assistance for those people. And those disaster response teams would have resources that they would access, that then they would appoint for meeting the needs of those in distress. So we could think of what they might be. It might be a lot of water bottles of clean drinking water. It could be food supplies. It could be blankets. It could even be, in some situations, temporary shelter. And so such disaster response teams, we see them, and we certainly praise their efforts, but we recognize what is their focus. It is primarily on meeting people's physical needs, which is very important. But we want to understand that when a disaster strikes, it might be a natural disaster of some great storm that passes through, or a fire, there are people have lost things, or it could very much just be a very personal disaster of someone in a family having died tragically or something like that happened. We want to understand that God wants us in many ways to be a disaster response team in a different way. He wants us to focus on meeting people's emotional and spiritual needs so that they have the emotional strength to make it through the crisis. Because that's the thing, is that so often, yes, you have the physical needs, but so much more is the emotional needs. How does a person process this tragedy and this disaster and not lose hope? That they need that to be able to continue on. And so, as we see in verse 3, it lists things as we appoint unto them these things and we give unto them. And so it's that idea that we make these things ready, and so then as people need them, that we have them to offer to them in their time of need. And so we see three things mentioned. It says that we're to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so it is the first of these three, this thought of beauty for ashes. That is what we want to focus on for the remainder of our time together this morning. It is amazing how creative people can be when it comes to repurposing things. Old weathered barn wood can be made into picture frames, pallets can be turned into furniture, scraps of fabric can be made into beautiful quilts, and rusted metal can be made into beautiful sculptures. But no matter how creative one might be, there isn't a whole lot that you can do with ashes. People don't collect ashes in jars and other containers to save for use later for a craft project, because ashes aren't really used for much of anything in that sense. Ashes are what is left behind when everything useful really has been burnt up. You collect ashes in order to throw them away, to get them out of the way, so something else can take their place. I've never seen on Facebook, on Kindersley Buy and Sell, somebody selling ashes and expecting people to buy them and pay money for them. We would look at ashes and we would say they have no value, that they're worthless. They simply serve as an empty reminder of what once was but is no longer, of what one once had that is now gone forever. And for many people today, when they look at their life and what has happened, all they see are ashes. Tragedy and disaster has struck, and everything that they had is gone. They have expectations that are never going to be met. They have hopes that will never be realized, dreams which will never come true. Perhaps what has happened is they made a terrible mistake, an error in judgment that cost them everything. Perhaps they are victim of another's mistake, or perhaps they're simply victims of circumstances entirely out of their control. But no matter what the cause, the effect is the same. All they can see is what they have lost. In such a situation, they look at it and they say, I have nothing to look forward to. I can't see how I can possibly move forward from this tragedy that I have just recently experienced. And we want us to understand that it is into this void that our Master sends us. That for these people, He wants us to give beauty for ashes. We are tasked with making an exchange, to turn what seems to be worthless into something wonderful, to restore hope so that they might have the will to carry on. And so when we think of that, this idea of giving beauty for ashes, the question automatically comes into our mind, how can we possibly do that? What can we say to be able to convince them that it's going to be okay without having them react against us? How is that possible? They might put back in our faces. It's something that certainly if we had the resources physically or emotionally to just put their life back together for them, I think we would, but we realize we don't have that. That's not something we can do. We can't bring back someone that's lost their life. We can't piece together old photos out of ashes or anything like that. That from a human perspective, this idea of giving beauty for ashes would seem to be an utterly impossible task. To just attempt it is to expect failure. But as we've considered already, God has not set us up for failure. He isn't calling us to do something ensuring that something that we won't be able to do. And we understand as this whole passage begins, it begins with those words, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And it is the idea that He places His Spirit on us. He places His Spirit within us. And we are anointed with the Spirit so that we can bring comfort to these precious souls that are in need of it. That, as we looked at last week, that it isn't some comfort that we have to try to devise ourselves. It is where we comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. That we comfort people, we are enabled to comfort because we have the Comforter within us. And many times it is us learning to walk with God, to yield to Him, to allow the Comforter to do His work. That we're basically just being used of Him as a conduit for His comfort. And so in this thought of bringing beauty for ashes, We want to understand that that it's only God that can do that. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we see in that passage, I think a fairly familiar passage, where it says, beginning in verse 1, says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. That we all go through different situations. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. But we see the statement made in verse 11, and that's what we want to really zero in on. In verse 11 says, of God, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. And as we read that, that again, we that I think the word in that passage that is the hardest for us to accept and believe is the word every. That we can think He can make some things beautiful, but this tragedy, this disaster that happened, how can He make this beautiful in His time? And we think, well, He's going to need a whole lot of time to be able to make this thing beautiful. And sometimes it does take time. But we realize that He does make everything beautiful in His time. And only He can do that. Only God can bring beauty out of disaster. Only God can turn a tragedy into a triumph. Only God can bring light out of the darkest days. Only God can bring good out of something that we would look at as being in bad and evil and awful. I think the greatest example we see of this is the testimony of Joseph in Genesis, who was sold into slavery by his brothers and who suffered great injustice and indignity, that was being faithful and was slandered and falsely accused and thrown into prison. He sought to be helpful to others and was forgotten. But we see as God blessed his life and exalted him to be in a position of power in Egypt, that it came to a place where the roles were reversed, that his brothers were at his mercy. And he could have done whatever he wanted to them. And as his brothers found out who he was, and especially after their father died, they were really expecting that Joseph would be vindictive to them, that he would now exact his revenge upon them. And his brothers were expecting that, and they actually sent a message to him just to ask him to be merciful to them. And he came with this response to them, Genesis 50 verses 19 and 20 says, and Joseph said to them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? For as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. And Joseph learned that something that was awful many, many years ago, was so heartbreaking and disastrous for him, so unfair, that he says, God, turn this into something good. God allowed this to happen, and He made good out of what was bad. He redeemed what was evil and made something good out of it. And so we want to understand that truth, that God wants to give people that have suffered great loss and tragedy, He wants to give them beauty for ashes, and He wants to use us to do that, to proclaim His truth, to have the Holy Spirit working through us to help a person to see that. That it is the Holy Spirit that can give the morning beauty for ashes. And it's as we walk in the Spirit, He can work through us to give the sorrowful the comfort that they need. And there's a truth that the older generation might be aware of that most of us nowadays are altogether oblivious to. And it is a truth that can be helpful to understand and apply as we seek to minister to those who have suffered great loss. Ashes are not entirely worthless. They do serve a purpose. Ashes contain valuable nutrients such as calcium and potassium, which are very beneficial to plant health. Then mixing ashes into your garden can help neutralize acidity in your soil, and it can be very beneficial to tomato plants in particular. Incidentally, ashes also work good for repelling slugs and ants, and also it's good for removing skunk odor from your pets. And I say all that to say that this, that when tragedy or disaster strikes, it is very hard for any of us to make sense of it all. It's very hard to find a way to move forward. And most people who have suffered a tragedy or a disaster, they're struggling to see how any good thing can come out of such a devastating turn of events. But we want to understand that God can use, there's a use for anything in God's hands, that He can use circumstances that we entirely look as being negative, and He can use them to mold us, to help us in ways we would never have thought of. And we want to think of that, that what seems to be the end of everything can, by His wisdom and grace, be a new beginning, be a fresh start. And from the ashes can emerge something beautiful. And we think of that. You think of the idea of ashes, of how they can be increased fertility in the soil, that sometimes there can be, after a tragedy, there can come a great fruitfulness in our lives as we learn to see things as God sees them and understand what He's doing, and just we don't maybe see it right away, but we learn to trust Him. We know that He can make something good out of this. He can bring healing. He can turn what is bad into something good. And we get through it, and years later, looking back, that individual can come to the point where they say, yes, that was a terrible tragedy, but if they have the ability to, if someone suddenly invented a time machine and they're able to go back in time to change it, they would say, well, no, I wouldn't change that, because going through that was necessary. It brought me to the place where I am today, and I needed that. Really, it's going to be a time where that individual praises God for performing a miracle where He brought beauty out of the ashes, that He miraculously turned something evil into good, and that He amazingly made all things beautiful in His time. And so it is that thought that in comforting the mourning, we don't give them the comfort we have to offer in our own wisdom. We don't know what words to say, and we don't. It's not just sometimes knowing the words to say, but knowing the time to say them, and sometimes the time just to be silent. But we don't have that insight. We don't have that wisdom. Instead, we comfort people with the same comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. And so, in giving the sorrowful beauty for ashes, we aren't making promises that we can't keep of how their lives will be better. Instead, what we do is we share with them Jesus. We tell them that this is the one for your future. You can place your hope and trust in Him. That if you're trying to make sense of what has happened, He's the only one that can help you make sense. He's the only one that can take what has happened, that where it seems that there's no hope, there is no future, and He can build something from that. And it says people learn of Jesus, put their hope and trust in Him, and they give their lives, their sorrows to Him. They turn even the disaster over to Him, that they can pass through the storms of life and they can become better instead of bitter. They can become to behold the beauty of the Lord, and they can testify that He has done all things well. And so may the Lord help all of us as His people, that as we are led and empowered by the Spirit, may we, by His strength, give the mourning the comfort they may need. May we learn to give them beauty for ashes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your word, and we just pray You would help us to have an awareness and a compassion for those that are hurting around us. Help us to recognize our obligation to give what help we are able to do, and let us recognize that we need Your help and Your power to be able to give people what they need. We just pray that, Lord, in our own lives, that we can see where You have done this and where You have given beauty for ashes in our own life. And we pray that You'd help us to be able to share that with others so that they can have their hope and trust in You and in the midst of the difficult times they're facing. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one last hymn. Hymn number 298, God Leads Us Along.